Thankful next week we'll get to baptize some more precious souls that have been saved. You know, as a result of your time and effort and your prayers, our junior church is successful. And it's good that they're not over there just to not be in the preaching, but they're over there to learn the basics of the Bible and to learn what salvation is and who offered them salvation. And some have accepted. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's good. I'm excited about another baptism service. Be praying ahead of that, that we get them all here. Pray that their families will come and see. You know, that's a good opportunity to get people in the doors that maybe never darken the doors of the church. So be praying ahead of that, that they won't just come just to see their young people be baptized, but they'll hear the gospel and maybe be enlightened unto the gospel themselves. Amen? So be praying ahead of that, if you don't mind. Genesis chapter 6 this morning, while you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Genesis chapter 6. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for what you've already done. I'm thankful that our sin is under the blood. I'm thankful we, Lord, don't have a license to sin, but Lord, we are freed from sin because of Jesus. I thank you so much for the people that are here this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are not here. Think of the Holland family. Lord, pray for them as they'll heal their bodies. Let Brother Thomas and Miss Beth and Miss Bree, Lord, just, Lord, feel better and be able to return here to fellowship with us. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, anybody else that I may be missing that are absent for whatever reason, God, I just pray you bless them. Lord, maybe they can tune on and watch live this morning. I ask you now to just, Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Allow your people this morning to hear from heaven. Lord, I just want to be a messenger for you. But Lord, you give the message. Lord, bind the devil off this place and off that junior church place and off that nursery, anywhere where there's kids this morning and us. Lord, we just want to hear from you. Cover this place with your blood. Lord, open the minds and hearts of your people. Lord, bless us now. If someone here don't know you, I pray, God, that today will be the day of their salvation. Lord, we ask you now to just meet with us just one more time. If this is the last time, Lord, may it be the best time. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 this morning. I want to talk a little bit about a man named Noah. Everybody knows the story of Noah. God told him to build an ark because wickedness was upon the face of the earth, and God had just before he'd repented that he had even created mankind. That's how bad it had gotten in the days of Noah. And you know, here's the bad thing. God said in the end time it is going to be as it was in the day of who? Noah. Well, folks, if you look around and you read how it was back in Noah's day, how bad it was, all the abominations that were taking place, folks, we're not very far from being in those times. It's getting there closer and closer every day. We're constantly surprised, and we shouldn't be surprised because the Bible says things are going to wax worse and worse. We should not be surprised that things are happening in America that we thought would never be legal. We should not be surprised that more babies are being killed than are being born in America every single year. We should not be surprised about all that stuff. Folks, God predicted that stuff. It's not His will for any of it. We know that. But here's the deal, we can't be surprised. We've got to be alert and aware that it's just closer and closer to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're saved in here today, that should excite you. But if you're not saved in here today, let me tell you something. You have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Hell's as real today as it was when it was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for you. It never has been intended for you to go there. God is not going to send you there. Your rejection and unbelief and lack of faith in Jesus Christ will send you there if you choose to die without Christ. That's the truth, and I'm sorry. I don't want that for you, and you should not want that for you. But today, I want to talk about a man named Noah who in that evil day was spared. Him and his wife and his sons and his daughter-in-laws were spared. But how did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord this morning? Look at the book of Genesis chapter number 6. We'll start in verse number 1. Let's get a little backstory here. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he had also his flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and some became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was what, church? Great in the earth. How many would agree that the wickedness of man is great in our earth today? just in our country. Don't worry about what's going on over there. Look in your country. Look in your city of just Red Level, Alabama, Evergreen, Alabama, Andalusia, up, wherever you may be from, River Falls. Look around you at the wickedness that's going on just in your back and front yards, folks. It's bad. It's ungodly. It should not be so. But look at what God said in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And let me tell you this, folks, anytime we choose to get depressed and disgruntled about what's going on around us, can I tell you something? Your God sees the wickedness that is going on around us today. You are not in this thing alone. God is well aware. He's alive and well and very alert as to what is going on with his people. You can rest assured that you're not in this thing alone. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can I say that man can only see the outward appearance of an individual? But the Bible teaches us over there that God looketh on the heart. God knows the wickedness and the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And he knows the wickedness and the thoughts and the intents of every single human being that he, by the way, he created. He created it. Didn't just happen. God created us. He fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of us without mistake. And God still looks down and sees the wickedness. God still sees the imagination and the thoughts and the wickedness in the minds of the people on this earth. Folks, we're not in this thing alone. God is very aware of what's going on. You need to know that. He's not dead. He's alive. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, amen. God is still alive and well. Verse number 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at the heart. So as we look around and we wonder, how on earth could people get to this point? Listen, folks, it got so bad back then that God, after he created Adam and after he created Eve, he looked at everything that he had created and he said it was good. Did he not do that? The Bible says it was good. Well, just a few chapters over, he's saying, I am sorry that I ever even created these people. How bad must it have been? Amen. Folks, you think we got it bad today? It was worse then. And folks, it's going to get worse today. It's going to get worse tomorrow. Let me fill you in. It ain't getting any better until Jesus comes back. Okay? So don't be surprised. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Listen, I like verse 7 because it proves evolution wrong. Amen. The Bible's true. There's no such thing as evolution. We did not just evolve. In the beginning, God created. Amen. It says right there in verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. God is responsible for the first man and the last man that will ever walk the face of this earth. There's no accident. It's all on purpose. God fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of you, man, woman, boy, or girl, without mistake. He knows who you are, where you are, the parents he gave you, and he trusted you to be who he designed you to be. And he gave you the ability to be exactly who he wanted you to be. He did not create you for yourself. He created you to do him good. Amen? You are not of your own. You're bought with a price if you're saved, especially. But he said, I repented. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But look at this. This is where we're getting to, folks. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How many of you found grace this morning? Say amen. Can I say if you're saved today, you have found some grace. And there's a whole lot more grace available to you who are not saved. If you're listening to me and you think, hey, I don't have that grace, let me tell you something. There's plenty of it. There's an everlasting supply of that grace that flows down. I promise you. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a what, church? Just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, and room shalt thou make it in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. We're not going to go down there and look at all the details, because that's not part of the message today. What I want to look at today is how, in a world where God is looking down and saying, I am repenting that I even created these individuals, how can Noah, just a little old man, find grace in the eyes of a God who's looking down at a nation saying, I can't even believe I did this? Folks, here's what I want us to learn. How can we find grace today in what's going on around us? Because I'm going to tell you something. We look like ants in this church today compared to the millions of people that are around us. The wickedness is great. God still sees the wickedness, but can I say this? God never forgets his people. He never forgets his people. Folks, here's the deal. If you're saved, you're not going down. Yeah, we win the victory. The victory's already ours. We're not going down with them. But here's the deal. How can we find grace while we're still here? Now, let's talk about that this morning. Number one, how did Noah find grace? Well, if you look at verse number 9, the Bible says there were generations. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a what, church? Just man. I wonder this morning, are you a just man or a just woman? What does that mean? In a moral sense, it means upright. It means honest. It means having principles or conforming exactly to the laws influenced by regard to the laws of God. The Bible teaches us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It means living in exact conformity to his divine will. So let me ask you this morning. What are you when you wake up every day? Who is it that you're trying to please? Is it the man in the mirror or the woman in the mirror that we look at and we talk so highly of? Or is it the God in heaven that gave you the ability to even wake up and walk and look in that mirror another day? Folks, listen, be not conformed to this world. Your job should not want to be more like this world. Your desire should want to be more like God every single day. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to have to start by submitting yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Folks, it's hard to submit to God. It's hard. Why? Because we have to deny ourselves. Folks, the greatest apostle that ever walked the planet, Paul, had to say it. I die daily. He talked about it. Those things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I find myself doing. The things that I do want to do, those are the things that I don't do. Hey, does it sound familiar? Folks, the only way Paul made it was submitting to God. The only way Noah made it was submitting to God. He told him to build an ark. Well, it's going to rain. Well, what's rain? It's never rained here. We live in a desert. Well, in 40 years, it's going to start raining. Now, that even sounds more absurd. 40 years. But you know what Noah did? He had such a relationship with God. I believe that Noah understood that God had never failed him before. Noah had probably been on his knees many times, and this is going to get real good in the end of this message. Please stay with me. Please, please, please. I'm begging you. Stay till we get to point number 3. Noah had generations before him that walked with God. And I'll show you this stuff. And Noah trusted that God was not going to fail him. So when God came to him and said, look, Noah, what's going on around you, bud, is pretty wicked. And I'm repenting that I even created these people. And Noah said, but God, what about, you know, and you know what? I told you this. God never forgets his people. Amen. Those people that died in that flood, you know what they did? They rejected God. And I believe today, they're in hell. Y'all okay? Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, today they're in hell. Guess what? They had they had an opportunity to help Noah. They had an opportunity to get on board that ark. They had an opportunity to cry out to God and ask God to save them, and all they had to do was obey. But guess what? They did not. And today they're paying for it. Noah was a just man. No doubt we have all experienced grace, but to get this kind of grace, we must desire to please God. Look at 1 Samuel 15:22. Hold your place there in Genesis 6. Don't lose it. 1 Samuel 15. I want you to see this. Very important. When God says something, folks, he doesn't say it. You ask yourself sometimes, you ask your kids, am I talking to myself? I say that a lot sometimes. Like, am I talking to myself? I used to hear it all the time when they were talking to me. Am I talking to myself? Look, folks, that's how God feels sometimes. Look at 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in, what's that next word, church? Obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This is when, you know the story, when King Saul, you know, God told him to kill everything about the Amalekites. He said, kill them all. Kill their wives, kill their husbands, kill their dogs, kill their pigs, kill their horses, kill it all. And don't touch their riches, because it means nothing to me. But Saul kept the old king alive, remember? And he brought him back and he said, you know, I'm going to offer some of this stuff up and God's going to love it. That's not what God said do. Folks, that should prove to you that works-based salvation is a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Your works are never going to save you. They never have saved anyone, and they're not going to start saving anyone today. It must be salvation by grace through faith alone. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. I wonder the millions or the hundreds of thousands of souls that are burning in hell today who Noah preached to and told them, God's going to send a flood. You better repent. I wonder today, while they're in hell, guess what? They're aware, they're alert, they're still burning, they're still in torment. They're not just going to go to ash and it be all over. That's not true. Don't let the devil lie to you. Hell is a real place where a worm, the worm dieth not. The Bible says the fire is not quenched. Folks, they're still there today. And you know what? The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Let me tell you something. You can choose your choices, right? But you cannot choose your consequences. There's only one consequence that you can rest assured you know what's going to happen. If you choose to reject Jesus Christ and die without Christ, knowing that you need him, you will go to hell. That's the only consequence you can rest assured that's going to happen to you. But you can't choose the rest of them. Obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So number one, Noah was a just man. Number two, the Bible says Noah was perfect in his generation. Verse 5 through 7 says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now look, Noah is literally, physically living amongst this wickedness. Everybody all right with that? He is. So how is it that one man chose to do right? And we say, man, it's hard for us to go to work and not find ourselves conversating with somebody that's ungodly. Not necessarily conversating with them, but conversating with what they're talking about that's not godly. It's hard enough for us just to not slip up and let a little four-letter word come out of our mouth every now and then. Amen? It's hard. It's tough. It's hard enough for us to just say no to simple things that we know is going to have a bad outcome. But how did Noah live in a day where evil was continual all around him? How did Noah remain right? Well, he was a just man. The Bible says he was perfect in his generations. The men in Noah's generation were wicked men. Their thoughts and hearts were evil continually. Just like in Noah's day, men and women in this world around us are living in evil continually. Their thoughts are wicked. Their actions are wicked. Wickedness is once again great in the earth. With all of this going on around, Noah somehow remained perfect and upright. That word perfect means finished, complete, not defective. How did Noah remain like this? Well, here's where the message is going to get good. I'm glad we got about 15 minutes left. Listen, this right here, God showed me this. I want you to pay attention. Noah walked with God. In verse number 9, Noah walked with God. How did he remain perfect? He walked with God. I believe Noah had some forerunners in his family that held the torch. Folks, listen. You think the good that you're doing today, the devil's going to try to say, it don't matter what you do. It's all in vain. No one really cares. No one's paying attention. Folks, that's a lie out of hell. Your babies are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. Your great-grandchildren are watching you. Folks, God's paying attention to what you're doing for His good. I promise you, let me tell you this, He will bless you for it. Look at this. Noah had some forerunners in his family that held the torch before him and passed that torch down the line. No doubt Noah heard the stories of his great-grandpa Enoch. You guys know that name right there? Enoch, who also walked with God and also escaped death. God translated Enoch. Look at, I don't want to spoil this for you. Go back to a chapter, Genesis chapter 5. I want to show you how important one generation to the next is. Think what you're doing today in moderation. Folks, listen, your children will do in excess. Good or bad, it's going to happen. It's been proven over the years. You know, they make their own decisions. Listen, they do, but they love you and they watch you and you're training them. Okay, and you might think, I don't do that around them. Listen, God knows. The devil knows. The devil's going to tempt them with it. And they're going to want to be like daddy. They're going to want to be like mama. Folks, generational sins are real. Amen. But look at this. Genesis chapter 5 and verse number, let's start in verse number 19, or verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat who? Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. Ain't you glad we don't live that long anymore? That would be crazy. I'm walking around at 33 hurting. I can barely walk, get out of bed sometimes. I couldn't imagine being 800 years old trying to get up and do anything. I mean, I don't know. That would be a long time. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he what? He died. And Enoch, here it is, lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with who? God. Now keep in mind, Enoch's son Methuselah lived the longest life that's ever been lived on this planet. Now, y'all listening to this? This is pretty crazy. I believe it ain't no coincidence that his son lived a long life. He had a pretty good dad. Listen to this. 5 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, imagine living 800 years or 400 years, but still having children at 400 years old. Goodness gracious. See, we thought Abraham and Sarah were old, right? Folks, these people still having babies at 400 years old. That's pretty impressive. Must have been something in the water. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And look at this again, folks, to verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In other words, Enoch did not die a physical death. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. Now listen, pay attention. Now Lamech is Noah's grandpa. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. So Lamech is Noah's dad, sorry. And he called his name what? Noah. So here we have Noah is the fourth generation. Lamech is Noah's dad. Methuselah is his grandpa. But old great-grandpa Enoch walked with God. Now you think for a second that grandpa Methuselah and daddy Lamech didn't tell old Noah the story of Enoch. Y'all listening to me? Folks, look, it pays to serve God. It absolutely pays to serve God. I wonder how much different the story of Noah and the ark would have been if great-grandpa Enoch would have chose not to walk with God. And Methuselah wouldn't have known how to walk with the Lord. And Lamech wouldn't have known how important it was to walk with the Lord. Noah never would have stood a chance. Folks, we're one generation away from not knowing who God is. It's very important, Daddy, that you know who God is. It's very important, Mama, that you know who God is. But more important than that, it's very important, Mama and Daddy, that your babies see God in you. It's very important that you make God the centerpiece of your home. We're not going to worry about what other homes are doing. We're not going to even compare homes with anybody else. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Listen, mom and dad, make the decision together to serve and walk with God, and you just have no idea. You may have a Noah on your hands. Y'all listening to me? Enoch didn't know anything about Noah when Enoch was walking with God. He didn't know nothing about him. He wasn't born. But years later, his great-grandson was going to make history. All because a great-grandpa chose to walk with God and lead his family in the right direction. God translated Enoch. He took him up without death. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I want to show you this. We call this the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 5 and 6. We'll read verse 7 too. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Folks, I wonder this morning, if God were to look at you, would he say that you are pleasing to him? Or would it be the opposite? You know, maybe you're strayed away from the Lord for a while. Maybe you've partook of some things and you're doing some things that you know you ought not be doing. Can I say this? The same God that chose to die in place of your sin is still a grace God today. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He hates your sin. He died for that stuff. But folks, he's already forgiven you. Look at verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what, church? Diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Folks, can I tell you this? Let me just listen up here, Daddy. Your decision could save your home, Dad. It's not mom's responsibility to be in charge of your home. Y'all okay? I hope I ain't stepping on no toes. Mom's important. She's the keeper of the home. She's the nurturer of that home. And let me tell you this, she's the spirit of that home. But Daddy, if you're doing your job, you're the one that's going to answer to God for her. That God, you know, you're not worthy of the wife God gave you. I'm not. I'm certainly not. I'm thankful for her, but I don't deserve her. But look at this. I'm responsible for her. And I'm responsible for Colton and Kyler and Kelly and Cassidy and Kaysen and Carolina. The Lord already took one home. And I'm looking forward to seeing them one day. But here's the deal. We got a big job, Dad. A big job, Dad. Any dads in the house? Yeah. Folks, don't underestimate what God has given you. There's a reason he put you in that position. Enoch had a testimony of walking with and pleasing God. This is my favorite part about the story. I like, you know, Enoch escaped death, did he not? God translated him that he would not see death. Well, everyone around Noah was doing evil and evil continually. The thoughts and intents were bad. They were horrible. And God said, Noah, build an ark. I'm fixing to destroy these people. And Noah preached to those people. Those people rejected. But did you know Noah, at that time, he escaped death, did he not? All because of a testimony. I can't help but think, I don't think that story of Enoch walking with God and him being great-grandpa to Noah is just a coincidence. Y'all hear me? This is real. We better start taking a look and realizing that our sin is not just affecting us. It's affecting everyone around us for generations to come. Enoch had a testimony of walking with and pleasing God. God spared him. Noah is a testimony. Get this. I bet Noah said, if he did it for my great-grandpa, he could do it for me. Could you imagine while Noah's building that ark? Gosh, I remember when Daddy used to tell me stories about great-grandpa. Building that ark, hot, no rain. I remember Grandpa used to tell me stories about his daddy, how he walked with God and how he didn't even die. And he's just pounding that ark together. He said, it'll be worth it after all. He did it for him. Certainly he could do it for me. Folks, listen, that's the kind of God we serve. He's a pretty good God. Amen? Noah found grace because he decided God was enough. Folks, we got to come to a point in our life where we realize, Miss Barb, if you want to come to the piano, If you just want to play, I have decided to follow Jesus, that'd be good. Folks, we got to understand this morning that Jesus is enough for us to do right.